Today's shir is Masechet Avodah Zarah, Daf Ayin Vav. We will begin Daf Ayin Vav Amud Aleph, the fourth line from the top. Ramle Rav Amram Le Rav Sheshes, as we finish our Masechet Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach. Ramle Rav Amram Le Rav Sheshes. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Hashvudim Va'askala, grills that were used for non-kosher ingredients that need to be kashered. And since they are used without any liquid, the way to do kashering on these types of kalim is malabnim ba'or, with libun. As the Gemara v'tanan, gabe kachim, the Mishnah says, Masechta Zvachim, regarding kachim, hashvud, v'askalo, the same type of grill that was used to cook, roast, kachim, magilim b'chamin. The way the kashering is done is by putting them into hot water. Firstly, why is kashering required? Because as we know, a carbon, after a specific amount of time, to talk about the carbonus that we're going to discuss in our shir, a carbon chattis after a day and a night, a carbon shlom after 2 days and a night, become nicer. So if these carbonus were used were cooked in these types of utensils, after that amount of time, the bliss, the absorption in these utensils is now nicer. Nicer, we know, of course, may not be eaten. So they need to be kashered. And the Mishnah Masechta Zvachim says that how do you kasher these types of grills? You kasher them with Hagolah. So we have a big stira. What is the proper way of kashering a grill? Our Mishnah says with Libun. The Mishnah Masechta Zvachim says with Hagolah. Amalei Amram Bri. So he responded, Amram, my son, your question is not really a good question. We can't compare the two subjects, the subject of kachim to the subject of kalim that absorbed because they were used for non-kosher ingredients. Four, hacha, in Masechet Zvachim, when the kalim were used for karbonis, hetei rabola, the ingredients, the absorption, was absorption from something that's mutter. Hasam, whereas in our Masechta, the blia was a blia of Isser, and therefore the kashering is different. Amar Rava asks Rava on this teretz, Saif, I don't understand, asks Rava. You're correct, says Rava. At the beginning when the absorption occurred, in Masechta Zvachim, it was something that was mutter that got absorbed. In Masechta Avodah Zarah, it was something that got absorbed. But we're not talking about the moment of absorption. We're talking about the moment of kashering. Saif, ki kapalot, when we're here now to kasher these equipment, isuru kapalot. They both have bliyas that are iser, and therefore the both should have the same type of kashering required. Ela Marava, because of this question, responds Rava, my Hagolah Nami, what does the Hagolah Masechta Zvachim mean? It's not talking about kashering. Kashering, of course, needs to be done with Libun. A grill, given that there's no liquid used when you use a grill, the kashering of a grill is done with Libun. Still, says the Gemara, my Hagolah Nami, what does the Mishnah Masechta Zvachim mean when it speaks about Hagolah? It means Shtifa Marika. The Aloch is that when something is used for kachim, the Torah requires, shtifa marika means that they be rubbed, they be scoured and rinsed of any residue. A special din, the din is the same regarding the garments that the Kohanim wear, that they have to be washed of any residue of blood that might have splattered on them. And that's what the Mishnah over there is referring to. You have to clean them from any of this, any of the blood that might have gotten absorbed, any of the blia from the carbon, you have to have shtifa marika. Actually, the Ramban uses this Gemara. We've discussed this Ramban previously here. We know, as was discussed at the end of the previous year, that truthfully, any keli that's a nice talmud gam doesn't need to be kashered. So why do we kasher? Just don't use it for 24 hours. Chassal made a gzeira. And the way most Rishonim say it, the gzeira is the Rabbanon, they really wouldn't have the kasher if the keli wasn't used for 24 hours. Chazal set the kasher. Says the Ramban, no, the chi of the kasher, even if the keli wasn't used for 24 hours, is midaraisa. Very bechiddish. The chiddish of the Ramban is because usually midaraisa, there is no concept of gzeris. And here we're applying in a deraisa situation, a gzera. What's the basis of the Ramban? The basis of the Ramban, one of the rais is this Gemara. Why is Marika Shtifa required? By the time you do the Marika Shtifa, it's already past 24 hours. So you see, the Midaraisa you have to be concerned about the Bliya, even if the Bliya is Pogam. Other Rishonim say it's different. Here by Kochim have different rules, and even though normally Noistam Gam is not an issue, by Kochim, it is an issue. That's one Teretz that I saw. Another Teretz is that Marika Shtifa have nothing to do with Bliya. As far as Hilchas Bliya is concerned, indeed, after 24 hours, it's a nice time of begam. But as I said a moment ago, there's a special din Torah of Marika V'Shtifa, and that din of Marika V'Shtifa has nothing to do with Hilchas Bliya. Another teretz that I saw is that at what moment does it become nicer? It becomes nicer in the moment, in the morning. That's the exact same moment that it also becomes a nice time of begam, especially we follow the opinion of the Rishonim, that something becomes nois tam begam after the night passes. So when is there a halacha that if something nois tam begam doesn't read with the raisa kashering, if it's first a nois tam begam, and now you want to kasher it, with the raisa you don't have to kasher it, it's a nois tam begam. But if it comes nois tam begam, and the chi, mrik, v'shtifa come at the exact same moment, it's a different situation. And then I saw very interesting teretz. We all recall the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos lists the various nisim that happened in the Beis HaMikdash. And one of the nisim that happened in the Beis HaMikdash is lo yisriach basar kochim yoylem. The meat from the kabbonis never got spoiled. So it's not very geschmack. What are we saying that why is Marika V'Shtifa required? It's a nice talmud begam. It's not true. The basar kochim never gets spoiled. They never come pogam. Of course, many mefarshim aren't satisfied with this teretz. They say the Sriach Basar Moila means they didn't get completely spoiled when it was whole, but that a piece of meat that they were able to eat never got spoiled. Here we're talking about blias that aren't eaten anyway. Where do we know that nace of Lo Yisriach Basar Moila even applied to the blias? Amrei Abaya says Abaya to Rava, how could you interpret that the Mishnah Masech the Zvachim, when it speaks about Hagola on grills, means Marika V'Shtifa, me dummy. Marika V'Shtifa, how do you do Marika V'Shtifa? You do it with tzaynin, with cold water. Hagola is done b'chamin, with hot water. So how could you say that the Mishnah is substituting the word Hagola for Marika V'Shtifa, where Marika V'Shtifa is so inherently different? Marika V'Shtifa is done with cold water, Hagola is done with hot water. So we're back to our original question. The Mishnah Masechta Zvachim says that the way you kasher a grill is with hagola. And here it says it's done with liban. Ela marabaya, yagrav levreya. Abaya, many times in Shas, uses this concept, a pasuk actually in Iyov, of yagrav levreya. When you have two mishnayis that discuss the same subject, and one mishnah he holds complements the other mishnah, and you combine what it says in both mishnayis to come to the full conclusion. And therefore explains Abaya. The halacha according to Abaya, it's a big chiddush, the halacha according to Abaya is that when you have a grill, both Hagola and Liban are required. Tana hasam Hagola, the Mishnah Masechta Zvachim says Hagola is required, but it doesn't mean only Hagola. For the Liban, Liban is also required. And the Mishnah here, Tana hach Liban, our Mishnah speaks about Liban, but it also requires Hagola. Tana hasam Hagola, who then Liban, there it speaks about Hagola, but it means also Liban. In other words, according to Abaye, each Mishnah gives us half the story. Our Mishnah speaks about the requirement for Liban, but that doesn't mean that Hagola isn't required. And that Mishnah speaks about Hagola, but that means Liban is also required. Ask the Rishonim, the obvious question, why are Hagola and Liban both required? Answer the Rishonim, that according to Abaye, and the way that we show him explain the Gemara is a very fundamental machloikas here. And it's not the way we paskin, la halacha. But the machloikas of Abaye v'Rava is as follows, explained the Rishonim. According to Abaye, liquid something that was absorbed through a liquid, the only way you could kasher such a vessel is with agola. When liquid wasn't used, the only way you could kasher the keli is with libun. And one can't work for the other. So now, says Abaya, when you taka have a grill, which is mainly used without liquid, it's used for roasting, no liquid involved. But there is some liquid, the juices of the meat that we're grilling. So for the need to kasher because of those juices, you have to do hagolah. And libun will not work. For the rest, on the other hand, you also have to do libun because there really wasn't any liquid. And therefore, you have to do both. And each Mishnah complements each other that in such a grill, you're going to have hagolah and libun. Amalei Rava, so Rava disagrees with Abaya. Ihocha, listen to Kula Bechada. If that was the way to understand these two Mishnayis, says Rava, the Mishnayis should have been taught otherwise. One Mishnah should have indeed taught us that Hagola and Liban are both required. V'listening Chada be'idach, Achrita, and then it's indeed the other Mishnah would only have to say one of the two steps of the procedure, and then V'leim Malav Yagad L'Reya. And then we could say we don't have to finish discussing the entire procedure, we could rely on the other Mishnah. But, says Rava to Abaya, that one Mishnah should speak about only Hagola, and one Mishnah should speak only about Liban, and then to assume that one is complementing the other, one fills in where the other one left off, Rava doesn't agree to that. Elam Rava, so we're back to Al Kasha. By Kotshim it says, Hagolub is the way to Kasha a grill. When Amasech it says, Liban is the way to Kasha the grill. Elam Rava, Kotshim Haina Tamayu, the reason by Kotshim, Hagolub is enough, for a different reason. What happens like this? Today we cook kachim in this. We cook carbon shlomim in it. So the Gemara is explaining as follows. I cooked in a carbon shlomim today, and as I said earlier in this year, the carbon shlomim doesn't become nicer till tomorrow night, because the zman achil of kachim is shnei yom v'laylecha, 2 days and one night. Tomorrow, I'm going to use this pot again to cook tomorrow's kachim. That the pot is still kosher because it didn't become nicer yet. So before the pot became nicer, I used it. And because I used it, that serves as a kashering. And the Rishonim explained it's a chatchila de kashering because I'm using the pot to cook. And therefore, I don't have to go through any more of a kashering. Kol yoyim v'yoyim nasagil chaveri. Ask the Gemara a technical question. Tanach Shlomim, the explanation that we just gave, is understandable by Shlomim. Why? Because as we explained, the Kivin is Shnei Yom Misachli, since the amount of time you have to eat Kavim Shlomim is for 2 days, so now this process will work. Because Mikama, the have a nicer, before it becomes nicer, have a gil, you will have kashered it. Again, let's review. Today I brought the Kavim Shlomim. Today I cooked the Kavim Shlomim in it. I'm going to reuse the pot tomorrow for tomorrow's shlomim, and it isn't yet nicer because it isn't nicer until tomorrow night. Elo chattis asked the Gemara, but what are you going to say if I use the pot to cook karmel chattis? Asked the Gemara, kim deliyoyim v'layla mesachla, since the entire zman in which you're allowed to eat the karmel chattis is only for a day and a night, so now let's understand the Gemara. Let's understand the process. I use it for karmel chattis today. When I use it for carbon chattis today, kivin have nicer. By tomorrow, it's already nicer. Why? Because as we said earlier, this man for carbon chattis is only a day or a night. So ask the Gemara, ki hodim avashaba lamacher, when I use this pot tomorrow, for whatever I use the pot, whether I use it for shlomim, whether I use it for chattis, kapalat nicer. Now, I'm not using a pot that still has blias of heter. I'm using the pot that has blias of iser. Because the blias are from yesterday, and tomorrow, yesterday's chattis is nicer. Answers the Gemara. Amri. Loi tzricha. What we have to do, says the Gemara, to avoid this problem, is the kimavash ba'chatos ha'idna. I use of a carbon chatos today. What I have to be careful is hodim v'ashabai in the shlomim. I have to be careful to cook in it carbon shlom today. Why? Let's think it through. I use it for chattis this morning. If I use it for shlomim this afternoon, what do I accomplish? What I accomplish is that cooking of the carbon shlomim will serve as a kashering for when I used it for the carbon chattis, and therefore I kashered before the blias became nicer. Now continues the Gemara. The chattis the lemacher for shlomim the esmoil the hadadi kashom's manayu. So now, says the Gemara, if I used it this morning to cook carbon chattis, then I used it this afternoon to cook carbon shlomim. So what have I accomplished? What I've accomplished is that I've taken away the problem of the chattis. Now, tomorrow, I will use it again for carbon shlomim. The chattis lemach of shlomim the esmo, b'had ha'adod k'sham z'manayu. They both have this shear, this man, when it becomes nice at the same time, tomorrow night. I keep on doing that to avoid the problem of it ever becoming treif. I always cook in it before it becomes treif because it's nicer. So again, let's just review the Gemara and then we'll try to understand the Gemara better. What the Gemara is saying is that using cooking in a pot before it becomes treif accomplishes what our goal, what kashering is supposed to do. So that means, if this morning I brought a carbon chattis in it, be careful to use it before the bli becomes nicer by cooking in it. That will eliminate the requirement for kashering. So if I use it this morning for chattis, cooking it shlomim this afternoon, that shlomim won't be nicer till tomorrow night. So tomorrow, I have to be careful to also cook in it, to keep on avoiding it should ever become treif. My cooking in it before it becomes treif prevents it from becoming nice sablia that I have to really kash. Rashi points out that when the Gemara says that if I used it this morning for karma chattis, I have to use it for shlom this afternoon, says Rashi, I can't just use it for any shlom. Because let's think about it, says Rashi. Who's allowed to eat a chattis? Only kahanim. Who's allowed to eat shlomim? Everybody. So if I take a pot that has an ablius of chattis, and I use it for shlomim, says Rashi, I'm going to now take the shlomim that anybody could eat, and only kahana will be able to eat it. Why? Because that's ablius from a carbon chattis in it. So to avoid that problem, says Rashi, when the Gemara here says, cooking it in the afternoon shlomim, doesn't mean any meat from the carbon shlomim. It means the chaz of a shaykh of the shlomim, that go to the kahanim anyway, so it's not a problem. What do you have here? Blias from the carbon chattis that are going to get mixed into carbon, to the chaz of a shaykh of the shlomim. The chattis is eaten by kahanim, the chaz of a shaykh is eaten by the kahanim, and therefore we have no problem. But then there's a different problem. Ask the rishonim, a much more fundamental problem. The halacha is, emavim kachon l'beis psol, which means as follows. As we've discussed many times in today's shiur, as it is, there isn't too much of a window when you could eat carbon. The longest is the carbon shlomim, shnei yamim v'laylecha, 2 days and a night. And therefore the halacha is that you're never allowed to do anything that will cause you to lose the amount of time you're allowed to eat a carbon. So ask the Rishayim of Gvalda Gakasha. Let's think about this scenario. We have this pot. We cooked in it carbon chattis. The zman of a carbon chattis is yoyim v'layla. So if today is Thursday, and I cooked in it carbon chattis today, I could only eat the carbon chattis till tonight, really, midaraisa till tomorrow morning. We all remember the first Mishnah, Masechta Brachos, till night chatzos. Now I cook in this pot carbon shlomim. What am I doing? It's still Thursday. The carbon shlomim I really could eat till tomorrow night, till Friday night. But by having used this pot for carbon chattis, by tonight chatzos, I can't eat the carbon shlomim anymore because it's getting the blias of the karma chattis, which is only eaten till tonight chatzos. And we just said, aim of being kachnal beis apsol. So how could you do that? The Rishonim asked this question. And I saw two terutzim to this question. One teretz Taisa says that this is a situation of nat by nat. Those who have learned every day are very familiar with the concept of nat by nat. Nat by nat means nois and tam by nois and tam. What happened here? The karma chattis, which is kosher, was cooked in a pot, and the pot has blias from the Karmen Chatas. Now I cook in the same pot, not at the same time, Karmen Shlomim, and the blias that went into the walls of the pot now travel into the meat. That's called a noisen tam by noisen tam. A noisen tam by noisen tam doesn't have these halakas. In other words, let's explain a little better. If I would have cooked the Karmen Chatas and the Karmen Shlomim meat at the same time in the pot, indeed the halakha is that we say that the blia of the Karmen Chatas goes into the Karmen Shlomim, and the Karmen Shlomim now has the chum of the Karmen Chatas. They weren't cooked at the same time. I used it for the Karmen Chatas, cleaned it, and now use it for Karmen Shlomim. That's a situation of not but not, where we don't have to be worried for the blia that far. One teretz. Another teretz that the Rishonim say, we've discussed this concept numerous times in our Masechta, that here we're dealing with a situation of min b'minoi. Chatas and Shlomim are both meat. And the halach is the min b'minoi, the halach is the min b'minoi, midaraisa is bottle b'roiv. So if I have only the blia of a karmen chatas in the walls of this pot, and I use this pot then for karmen shlomim, which is the roiv against the blias, we don't have to be worried midaraisa. Here we're dealing with kachim, it's in the base of Migdash, and therefore since it's a blia of a min b'minoi, there's no issue, and therefore we could eat the karmen shlomim that was cooked in this pot, l'shnei yom v'layla echad, even if it has a blia of the karmen chatas going into it. Ask the Gemara, but if that's pshat in the Mishnah Masechta Zvachim, the kint since you're using the pot before it became osur, that's why kashering is not required. So what does the Mishnah say? You need hagola. You shouldn't have to require anything. The Mishnah doesn't say you don't require anything. The Mishnah says you do hagola. Why? Even that shouldn't be required. Kasha. Rapapa says a different teretz. High korid, high loy korid. Interesting teretz. Rapapa says as follows. He says, a pot, and again, nobody should use this la'aloch l'maisa. He says, a pot that's in constant use. There's no time for the bliya to get absorbed into the pot. Because you're constantly using it, so the bliya never gets baked into the walls. Whereas a pot that's not in constant use, there's time for the bliya to get baked into the wall. Therefore, says Rapapa, in the Beis HaMikdash, they were constantly bringing kabbonis. Since we're constantly bringing kabbonis, the pot never had an opportunity to get a bliya. Why? Because you're constantly using it. And therefore, hagol is enough. But if you have a grill at home, doesn't mean you're constantly grilling in your house. You're not always grilling in your house. And therefore, there's a time for the bliya to get baked into the grill. And therefore, the only way to get that bliya out is with lipa. Ravashi says, L'oilin k'ramir mekara. Ravashi goes back to the beginning of this year. And as the Ritva says, this was the first teretz that the Gemara gave at the beginning of this year. The Gemara asked the question because the Gemara didn't understand the teretz. And now Ravashi is explaining the teretz that we should not have a problem. Hocha terebola. We can't compare the situation of Masechta Zvachim to the situation of Masechta Avodah Zarah. Because Hocha in Masechta Zvachim haterebola, the bliya is a bliya of heter. Hocha, whereas the bliya in Masechta Avodah Zarah is a surbola. We immediately asked the question on that. Uda kakasha. We immediately asked, the Be'edin the Kapolet is Suru Kapolet. What do we care about the Belia? We're talking about the Kashering. And by the time we're Kashering the pot of Masechta Zvachim, it's nicer. And nicer is Isser. Just like the Belia of Tarfis is Osir. Answers the Gemara, Be'edin the Kapolet la Isla Suru Be'enei. When you're Kashering, you don't have the Isser. And the way the Rishonim say is as follows. Explain the Steretz is as follows. They say, there are two requirements there are two conditions that have to be met to require a serious kashering, libum. One is that at the moment it got nivla, it was usser, and that isser, that nivla, is noticeable. Here, and that's the fundamental difference between kachim and avodah zarah. By kachim, at the moment of bliya, it was up mutter. It was not yet nicer. So indeed, later on, when you're kashering it, it's nicer. At that point, you don't see this. Whereas over here, in Avodah Zarah, you have a piece of this pot was used for non-kosher ingredients, real non-kosher ingredients. So at the moment of bliya, you had real non-kosher ingredients that were noticeable. You cooked them in the pot. And therefore, we have to be more chomer here, machmir here, in the type of kashering than in the type of kashering Masechta Zvachim. Actually, this concept that the Gemara now is following, that differentiates between a Torah Bala and Issura Bala, is relevant in a number of areas of Halacha L'maisa. One, and actually it's going to be the next piece of Gemara, the Gemara discusses exactly how Liban is accomplished. But those that are somewhat familiar in Kasherim know there are really two types of Liban. There's Liban Kal and Liban Chomer. Liban Kal is not as hot as Liban Chomer. And explain the Rishonim, the Paiskim, when is Liban Kal sufficient and when is Liban Chomer required. Liban Kal is sufficient when it's a Torah Bala, and Liban Chomer is required when it's a Issur Bala. There's also a very big machlokes Rishonim based on this Gemara. Because this Gemara is teaching us that if something was nivla, was heter, that even though normally maybe Liban would require, Hagol is sufficient. Ask the Rishonim, what is the halacha chametz in Pesach? I use my pot today. It's long before Pesach. And I cook in it chametz. So today it's a terabola. And our Gemara says that even a grill that was used for a terabola doesn't have to have Liban. Hagol is enough. Mishnah Masechet Zvachim. So what will be the halacha today? It's not Pesach. Chametz is not also today. What is the halacha? Very big machlokes Rishonim. Tosfos is actually of the opinion. Tosfos is actually the opinion that chametz before Pesach is considered a Torah Bala. Most Rishonim, that's the way we paskin, disagree, and they say that chametz before Pesach is a Sur Bala. The Rashba, the Ritva, the Meiri, the way most Rishonim paskin, and that's the way we paskin. The Mishnah Berurah says that's what we should do. Why is it considered a Sur Bala? So there are two approaches in the Rishonim. One approach in the Rishonim is that chametz is chametz all year round. I'm just allowed to eat chametz today, but that doesn't mean it's not chametz. A piece of bread is chametz 365 days a year. Kachin before it becomes nicer is not nicer. And therefore, even though maybe I'm allowed to eat nicer today, I'm allowed to eat chametz today, that doesn't mean it's not chametz. One approach. Another approach in the Rishonim, we've discussed this in this Masechta, since we see that Chazal was so machmer when it comes to Hilchas Chametz, Chametz is not even bottled by Mashahu. Therefore, even if we were to take the concept that our Gemara is teaching us today, that when something is Hatera Bola, we could be more lenient in the Kashering, but since we see how Chomer Chametz is, that's even also by Mashahu, that's why it's also Chomer to the extent that a Kashering has to be done with a Libun, not just with Hagolah. Ask the Gemara, when you do Libam, ad kama malabnum, how much Libam is required? Or Ramani, ad shet tasher klipasan, until the outside layer of metal is peeled off. The Yerushalmi, when it speaks about this shear of Libam, says that sparks fly from the heat. And the Paiskim say that's really the same shear, the same degree of heat. Kate said Megillan, exactly how was Agola accomplished? Amra Funa, you put a small pot into a big pot, and the small pot is the pot that needs to be kashered, and put it into a big pot, fill it up with water, and let it boil, and that's how you kasher the small pot. Ask the Gemara, Yoyre G'doyle Mai, and how do you kasher a big pot? So the way most Rishonim learned to explain this Gemara's question, and that's the way we're going to explain this Gemara's question, is the Gemara is asking a very practical question. A small pot, you could always find a big pot to put it into. But what happens if you have to kasher a big pot? You don't have a bigger pot than that. So how are you going to kasher it? That's how most Rishonim explain the Gemara's question. And as I said, that's how we're going to explain the Gemara's question. But there's another opinion in the Rishonim, a very important opinion, a very important approach. What happens, as they say, is the Gemara's question. When you do kashering, what happens? You take the small pot, you put it into the big pot, as I said a moment ago, you fill it up with water, and you boil. And what happens? The blia that's in the small pot goes out from the small pot, and that's how it's kashered. But there's a problem. Where's that blia going? It's a trefa de gablia. That's why you're kashering it. It's going into the big pot. And as the Rishonim explained, the Gemara says this really, Masechet Chulin. I'm not worried about the small pot getting treif again, that the blea will go right back in. Because the Gemara says, either the Torah lemiflet, since it's busy expelling the bleas, it doesn't have the ability at the same time to be boileya, to absorb. That's why I don't have a problem with the small pot. But the big pot isn't doing that. So why are we not worried about the big pot? And that's why some Rishonim explain that is exactly the Gemara's kasha. That the Gemara's kasha is that every big pot that's used to kasher a small pot needs to be kashered afterwards because the bli of the small pot now traveled into the big pot. And what happens, ask the Gemara, if you have a very big pot, how are you going to kasher it? That's how some Rishonim learned the Gemara. We don't pass in that way. And we don't require that if we have a big pot, you're supposed to use the pot that wasn't used for 24 hours. But if you have a big pot that you're using for kashering, that you have to kasher the big pot afterwards. Why? And the answer is quite simple. Because the water, two reasons. The water is certainly more than shishim against the blia in the small pot. So whatever blia comes out is automatically bottled in that water. One teretz, three shayim give. The other teretz that three shayim give is, as we've been saying already for a number of times, the pot that we kasher, we always have to wait 24 hours. So any blea that's going out is a town pogum. And therefore, we don't have to be worried about that pot. And therefore, we go back to our original pshat. The question of the Gemara now is not about the pot that we're using to kasher in. That pot doesn't have to be kashered. Although Tosfos does tell us, and people don't know this halacha, but Tosfos tells us that if you kasher a pot, after you kasher it, you should immediately rinse it with cold water. And the reason probably is before you let the blea go right back in. But the big pot that you kasher in, nothing has to be done. The Gemara's question is, that's a simple question. I have a big pot that got not kosher, or chametz dig, and I want to kasher it, and I don't have a bigger pot to put it into. What do I do? Yoru g'doy l'may, Toshma, says the Gemara, the hu duda, there was this large pot, davabei Rav Akiva, that was in the home of Rav Akiva, ahadalei g'danfa delisha puma, he put a coating of dough around the tap of the pot, a coating of dough around the top of the pot, umal yumaya, and then he filled up this pot with water, farsach, and he cooked up water in that big pot. He cooked up water in that big pot, and then, because he was able to get to the top of the pot, normally you can't get to the top of the pot, because the water will spill over. Here he was able to get higher than the top of the pot, because he had this extra rim of dough. That's how you kasher it. Interesting, and this is somewhat more negated to yesterday's shir. Interestingly enough, the Rishonim say, why don't you just do Iri Kli Rishon? Why don't you just pour boiling water on the pot if it's too big to put into another pot? This is a raya that Iri Kli Rishon doesn't accomplish kashering. And therefore the Gemara couldn't give that piece of advice out of kasher. Amarava, man chacham lemevit kohamilsa. Who is so smart to kasher the big pot this way, Ilav Rabbi Kavya, if it's not Rabbi Kavya, the Gavu Rabbahu, who's a very great individual. What makes him great? So I saw two pshatim in the Mefarshim. One pshat in the Mefarshim is, his greatness is, as the Gemara is going to explain in a moment, he was able to understand the philosophy behind kashering, and therefore he was able to apply that lumdus to every case, or his greatness wasn't as practical ability to come up with a good approach how to kasher a big pot. Why? Because Kosava Kabbalah Kapalti. He is of the opinion that what is the basis of kashering? The basis of kashering is Kabbalah Kapalti, which means the way that the non-kosher got absorbed, that's the way it must get absorbed, expelled. Now, Ma Boiler Benetzoitzis, Apalti Benetzoitzis, which means as follows. Nobody cooks food on the rim of his pot. There's no place for it. What happens, however, when you're cooking in a pot, sometimes when you're dishing out from the pot, or sometimes it boils over, and that's called netzaitis, fall on the rim of the pot. And therefore, what happened in this case? I have this pot, I need to kasher. So to fill up the entire pot with hot water, it's no big deal. The problem is, how do I get the rim kashered? But the rim didn't get non-kosher because I cooked in the rim. You can't put food in the rim. It only got non-kosher because things splattered over it. So when I put this rim of dough around the top, that will create the same situation that the water in the pot will boil over the rim, and that'll be the same with tzitzis. And therefore, it's fine. Why don't you just pour water over the rim? So Rishonim explained, because it has to sustain there. So if it boils over, it'll be there for a while. If I pour it, it's only there for too short of a time and won't accomplish it. Furthermore, say the Rishonim, and that's the halacha, there's another way of kashering it. It accomplishes the exact same thing. Fill it up with water, boil the water, and then throw a stone into the pot, and that will cause the water to boil over, and the water to boil over will now be the same as Netzaitis and kasher the rim of the pot. One more important part that the Mefarshim say, our Gemara, and as we all know this, says that the goal of kashering is Kabbalah Kach Paltoi. The way it got treif, that's the way it gets kosher. Ask the Mefarshim, the Gemara Naman Aleph just now said that how do you kasher with Liban? It has to be very, very hot. The outer layer of metal comes down, sparks flying. It's a very, very high shear. Ask the Mefarshim, why don't we say Kabbalah Kach Paltoi? So let's say you have a vessel that your taka used to cook in without any liquid. And because you used it without any liquid, you need to kasher with Liban. But why does the Liban have to go to such a high degree? Just measure. Let's say you only used it up to a certain amount, because the Paiskim say the Liban is anywhere 850, 900, very high. Let's say, usually people don't cook that high. They bake 500, 600. So why don't we say Kabbalah Kach Paltoi? And as long as you apply heat of 500, 600 degrees, it should be enough. Answer the Mefarshim, the lumdus of Hagola and the lumdus of Liban are very different lumdus. Hagola is indeed, as Agamar just said, Kabbalah Kach Paltoi. Liban isn't Kabbalah Kach Paltoi. Liban burns out the Bliya. And the Gemara in Amun Aleph, on the bottom of Amun Aleph, teaches us that when is Bliya burnt out? When it reaches that degree. Anything else, it doesn't get burnt out. We learned in the Mishnah, has sakin shofar, the knife that became non kosher, you scrape it, vihi tahira. Amar avok bachama, v'noyitza sar pam bakarka. You have to stick it into the ground 10 times. Amar avun b'reid of Yeshua, what type of karka? Karka she'en avuda. Unplowed land, hard ground. Very big machlokes we're showing here. Do you need to do both or one? Do you need to do scraping and sticking in the ground, or is one enough? Most Paiskim, most Rishonim have the opinion that one is enough. Others say, Rashi's opinion actually, is that both are required. Then I saw another opinion. It makes a difference how you scraped it. If you scraped it with a professional knife sharpener, then you don't have to stick it in the ground. If you just used a rag to clean it, then you have to stick it into the ground. Others say, there's enough to mean if you're going to use it on a permanent basis, then you have to do both. If you're going to use it on a temporary basis, one is enough. Furthermore, says Rav Kahana, when is sticking in the ground enough? The sakin yofesh ein begumis. A knife that doesn't have ridges. Tanya nami hachay. Sakin yofesh ein begumis. If it doesn't have ridges in it, noyetz asar pam kak is sticking it to the ground 10 times. Omer of Hunibreid of Yeshua, lecha bait sonin. When is that enough? If you want to use it for cold. But let's say your knife became non-kosher because it was used to cut something hot. Sticking in the ground won't do it. You have to do a real kashering. Hagol or Liban. Right, because you're only going to use it for cold. So let me explain. You're saying very good. If I use this knife even for hot, but now I want to use that knife to eat something cold, and the knife became non-kosher, so the halacha is that to use it for cold, sticking in the ground with or without the scraping is enough. But let's say I'm going to want to use it to cut something hot. I'm going to have to do Hagol or Liban. Which brings us to a very big machlokes Rabbeinu Tam and Rosh. The Gemara here is saying a very big chiddush. This knife became treif because it was used for hat and really requires Hagol or Liban. The Gemara is telling us a very big kula that if I only want to use the knife for cold, sticking in the ground will do the trick for that. So what will be the halacha going back to the previous Gemara? Let's say you have a vessel that's used with liquid and without liquid. A frying pan, a pan. You use it with liquid, without liquid. So you used it without liquid. You cooked something non-kosher without liquid. How do you have to kosher? Liban. But now you want to use that pan, that pot, with liquid. Will Hagola be enough or not? Rabbeinu Tam says yes. Just like in the previous, this Gemara we learned, that if you want to use it for cold, you could do that, it's good enough. Even though if you want to use it with hat, you have to do Hagola or Liban. Here too, do Hagola if you want to use it with liquid. And then if you decide that you want to use this now, this pan that became treif, for kosher roasting without liquid, then you'll do your liban. Rush disagrees. He says it's strictly by a knife where the Gemara gives the setter, by a pat that became treif, and liban is required. If it became treif without liquid, you have to do liban, and until you do liban, you can't use that pat again. Says the Gemara. Kihada Marihuda Bati Batuva. There's an incident with Marihuda and Bati Batuva. Have Yasakre and the Shvar Malka. They were sitting by Shvar Malka. Aisel Kamayus Roiga. So they brought in front of him Esrig. Pasak Ochel. He cut and took from the Esrig. Shvar Malka was a non-Jew. Pasak Bahavle Labati Batuvi. Then he gave a piece of the Esrig, cut a piece of Esrig for Bati Batuva. Hada Dotsa Sura Zimni. Then he stuck it into the ground 10 times. Hotza dots about Asar Zimni Ba'ara, Pasuk Kavli Lema Yehuda. He cashed it before he gave it to Rabbi Yehuda. Amalei Bati Batuvi. So Bati Batuvi says to him, Vahu Gavr Labai Yisrael, who? What am I? Why, when you gave it to him, did you cashier it? And when you gave it to me, you don't cashier it? Amalei, Ma Kimlei Begavei, Ma Lei Kimlei Begavei. The Rishonim explained it as follows. The entire need to cashier here was only Mechumra. Important rule. Why? Because he used it to cut a fruit. This is the question about cut off fruit by buying cut off fruit from a non-Jew. If Mikra Din, Shvar Malka, and it wasn't a Jew, but he was a Lamdan, knew that if the knife is the only use of fruit, it doesn't become treif. And therefore he says, you could buy fruit for, you could use my fruit without, with my knife. Only somebody who I know is meticulous is a Machman. And he I knew was meticulous. And therefore, since I knew that Rabbi Yehuda is meticulous, he won't eat fruit that was cut with a knife of an akum, even if the knife is only used for fruit, and if I was careful to kasher it. You, I don't know if you're that meticulous, so if I didn't bother to kasher. That's one way the Gemara says. Ikadamri amalei itka my avdus purta, which means as follows. When people used to come visit Shvar Malka, he used to bring them women for companionship at night. Rabbi Yehuda refused the woman that was brought to him by Shvar Malka. Bati Batuvi didn't. So Shvar Malka is saying, you're not such a gross tzaddik. You were together with the woman. And therefore, what are you busy with kashering? Yehuda was a serious person. So what is the answer? So the most Rishonim explain as follows. Bati Batuvi was really an Evid, Kanani, who didn't get a proper Shtar Shikr, wasn't freed properly. So for him, it's mutter to be with the woman. Yehuda was a Jew, who was also to be with the woman. And that's what Bati Batuvi was saying. I was mutter, so I did it. That has nothing to do with Hilchos Kasheris. But then I saw a different approach, a very important approach, in explaining the Gemara. Bati Batuvi maybe did the wrong thing in having relations with that woman that night. Yehuda did the right thing that he didn't. But Bati Batuvi was saying to Shvar Malka, you could have a Jew that doesn't act properly, and this is a very big lesson to as we finish Masechta Avodah Zarah. You could have a Jew that doesn't act properly in all areas of halacha. Even he had relations with these women, but that doesn't come to Macholos Asuris. Macholos Asuris is a whole new category. Kashrus is a whole new category, and therefore you may think that I don't act that properly, and you may even be right. But kashrus, you have to be makbid on. Therefore, you shouldn't give me a knife that isn't kosher. You shouldn't use a knife for me that's not kosher. There's a beautiful verse from the Chayza as we finish the Masechta. He says as follows, that the reason Klal Yisrael now is not in the same Madrega as they will be when Mashiach comes, because now we worship Hashem Meira. When Mashiach comes, it'll be Mahava. Says the Gemara, Hadron Lachas Seichel Zapoyel. We're not going to anymore be a Seicher. A Seicher means somebody that's hired. He has to do his job. Hadron Lach, we're not going to come back to this Has Seicher Zapoyel. We're making a Siyim on the Avodah Meira. And when we will come to the Madrega of Havas Hashem, Slikach Mesechta Avodah Zarah, there will no longer be Avodah Zarah in the world. We will live in a perfect world, the world of Hashem.